Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is the Sports Edge with Rick Wolf on your flagship station for New York sports. The Fan, Sports Radio 66 and 101.9 FM, WFAN New York.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of Rick Wolf Sports Edge. I'm your host, Rick Wolf. Well, I want to talk about what I call the gift of adversity, and I want to talk about that if we have time later on in the hour. But first up, I want to start this morning's show by talking about parents going too far. Now, we've already covered in recent weeks the college admissions scandal, where affluent parents were spending hundreds of thousands of dollars to bribe college coaches to get their kids into elite private schools. Those were indeed parents behaving badly. We know that. But this past week, and admittedly on a much smaller scale, I'm sure you heard about this, the well-meaning sports parents up in Ridgefield, Connecticut, who, in an attempt to salvage a high school baseball game, the parents decided it would be a good idea to try and set fire to the wet portions of the dirt in the infield. Not only didn't this ploy work, but it totally backfired. The flames caused approximately $50,000 in damages to the field, in which much of the dirt has to be eventually dug up now due to the lingering health concerns of having gasoline fumes in the field. And, of course, no one has come forth to take responsibility for this move, although clearly there's video of the various individuals working on the field. I'm sure they can be eventually identified. And there's a real question as to whether or not insurance is going to cover the cost of the damage to the field. What I have heard is that because this was an intentional act to pour gasoline onto the dirt, because that's intentional, the insurance folks are saying, well, you know, you really can't get covered for intentional damage to a field. Anyhow, a couple of passing thoughts, and I want to get your feelings and comments as well at 1-877-337-6666. One, this is one of those ideas that's been around for not just years, but for decades. And you know what? Not only is it extremely dangerous to pour gas onto a field, it also doesn't work. I mean, there are countless examples of fields being destroyed from this kind of maneuver. Believe it or not, just a week earlier, a high school baseball coach in Utah tried to do the same thing, dumping gas on a high school field, and that caused similar damage. Now, I understand Ridgefield, this was supposed to be a big game between Ridgefield and Amity, and obviously people were attuned to want to make sure this game got going. But, you know, and I also understand that the Ridgefield coaches were put on administrative leave. I'm not really quite sure as to how they were involved in all this. But, you know, when you run the risk of burning down a field when you throw gasoline onto it, you're also seeping, as I said before, the dirt with gallons of gasoline, which is full. Gasoline's full of terrible things that can harm a kid's health. And once that gas is in the dirt, it doesn't go away for a long time. It stinks and it smells, and the toxic fumes are inhaled by the players. Anybody's ever pumped gas at a gas station, you know if you get gas in your hands, it smells and doesn't go away for a good long time. Now, in contrast, in pro ball, well, first of all, if it's raining, usually the fields are covered with tarps. And if it rains during the game and it starts getting sloppy, well, you see what happens. They get out the rakes and they pour down Diamond Dry to help soak up the moisture or some other substance like Diamond Dry, so that it absorbs the water and hopefully the game can continue. But they do definitely never pour down gallons of gasoline and light a match. That just doesn't happen. The bottom line, look, sports parents, while it's okay, obviously, to want to see your kid play ball on a damp day, spend your time and effort on just getting the rakes out and or mopping the field up and then apply the Diamond Dry. And if that doesn't work, well, what you have is what we call a rainout. I mean, as the old saying goes, sometimes you win in baseball, sometimes you lose, and sometimes you get rained out. A little common sense would have gone a long way in this case. And remember, especially in baseball, games do get rained out. 1-877-337-6666. Let's get some thoughts about this. Let's go to Jay in Ridgefield Park, New Jersey. Jay, good morning.
Especially in baseball, games do get rained out.
Jay?
1-877-337-6666.
You there, Jay?
Let's get some thoughts about
it. Well, let Jay, obviously he's listening to my commentary. I can't get him on the phone. Let's go to our friend Ed over in Elizabeth. Ed, you've got experience with Fields.
Oh, yes, I do. And before I talk about that, there's two things I'd like to bring up.
Yeah.
Over the past 2 months, we've lost two legendary college baseball coaches in the country.
Yes.
Last month, we lost Freddie Hill from Rutgers.
Right.
And this past week, we lost Mike Shepard.
Right.
Both of these coaches, it's amazing, Rick, between them have over 2,000 wins, close to 2,100 wins between them on the college level. The best thing, and I knew both men personally because I was a former college coach.
Yes.
The best thing about those guys, in their own way, and if you talk to other players, they would say the same thing. They taught their players how to become men. And it wasn't only about baseball and all that. So I wanted to bring that up.
Ed, I'm glad you did. I was going to mention the passing of Mike Shepard, obviously.
Well, I'm sure you knew him and all that.
Everybody in baseball knew Mike Shepard, a tremendous guy, tremendous family, in baseball. And I was saddened to hear of his passing. But as you said, these guys, this is all about baseball, particularly at the collegiate level in New Jersey. So I'm glad you mentioned that.
Second thing I want to bring up, and then I'm going to talk about the gasoline thing. There's a great event going on in New Jersey. I'm actually heading down to go umpire today. The Mike Garlotti, the scout for the Colorado Rockies, runs an autistic high school tournament where 40 of the elite baseball teams in New Jersey play.
Mm-hmm.
But yesterday, Jack Leiter from Del Barton High School threw, and if everyone knows, that's Al Leiter's son.
Mm-hmm.
There were 15 major league teams there with their, whether it's a regional scout or cross checker. And yesterday he topped out at 97 miles an hour as a senior in high school. And one of my buddies, Warren Bennett, who's one of the top umpires in the state, umpired the game. He said when he needed to, he really brought it in all that. So if anyone's not doing nothing, trust me, it's a great event. Mike Garlotti does a great job with the autism program.
Yes.
And the last thing is, oh, go ahead, Rick.
No, tell me about pouring gasoline on Fields.
Well, here's a great story. I'm playing American Legion Baseball in 1977, and who we playing against? Vailsburg Legion was coached by Mike Shepard.
Oh, okay.
We had to get our games in because we were backed up with rain by the next day, or else they were going to decide who was going to be the championship represent New Jersey in American Legion. So we're playing Mike Shepard.
Yeah.
We play a game. Inning and a half, it starts pouring and all that stuff. So they stopped the game. Our Legion coach, Bobby Catullo, made us go get gasoline to go to Breslin Field, dump it on the field and burn it and all that stuff. Because back then, Rick, there was no Diamond Dry in 1977.
Mm-hmm.
So you had to do whatever you could to get the things done. But today you don't need to do that. There's so many drying methods out there that you can get the fields ready. But plus now, a lot of the schools now are going to field turf because they want to get the games in.
Well, exactly. In other words, that's another thing I'm glad you mentioned as well. A lot of schools do have, in fact, the turf, which is easily, it dries up very quickly. You don't want to pour gasoline or artificial turf for sure. But the fact is, there are so many other ways to get the field back in playing shape. Or, as you said, you have to just sort of wait and postpone a bit to get the diamond dry on it and clean it up. But to put gas on it, boy, that's really going the wrong way.
As an umpire, we know if we're playing on certain fields, if we get rain, we know we're not going to be umping, unfortunately, because some of these fields don't have good drainage or whatever.
Yeah.
But the way things are today, they can get fields ready in no time.
I hear you. Ed, thank you for the call. Appreciate it as always.
Have a good day.
Thanks,
have a good day,
Ed. Thank you. You bet. Let's go back to our friend Jay over in Ridgefield Park, New Jersey. Jay, good morning. Jay, can you?
Ed, thank you for the call. Appreciate it as always.
Jay, if you're going to... Jay, you got to stand, friends, when you call the station and you go through our screener today, it's Ed, you got to turn the radio down on your car, otherwise we can't hear you. So please bear that in mind. Let me a few more comments about this. You know, I do understand that obviously parents want to see their kids play. And apparently this was a big game up in Ridgefield, and obviously there was a desire to get the field ready. We understand all that. We get that. We understand that this is a situation where you can't control the weather, the elements. However, as Ed just pointed out, you know, these days there are a lot of other alternative solutions when it comes to dealing with rain. And as I said, if you have a field, if there's a tarp, obviously, and the rain's in the forecast, obviously you want to, you know, cover particularly the pitching mound and home plate when it comes to tarps. If you can, the infield as well. If not, then you get up early in the game, early before the game's supposed to start, get the rakes out. And trust me, I've done this 1,000 times in my own career. Get the rakes out with your players. You rake. If you have to, if there's a lot of standing water, yeah, you literally get buckets out, and you fill up the buckets with the water, and you pour it off, you know, away from the playing field. And if you have Diamond Dry or other comparable products which are designed to absorb water, then obviously that's your best bet. Again, you go back, you dump that on there, you get your rakes out again. It's just common sense. But, you know, Ed alluded to the fact that back in the 70s, you know, people would try to use, you know, gasoline. That's a long time ago. It was not a good idea then. Since those days, obviously, there's also lots of environmental concerns about putting gasoline into the dirt. It seeps down into the clay. It's impossible to get rid of. It stays there for a long time. And, of course, kids are going to, even though the next day it's dry, the gasoline fumes still stay there. And I, for one, do not want my kids, you know, basically playing in a ballpark, on an infield, with those gasoline fumes. It's certainly toxic. It's full of benzene, other carcinogens. Really, really a bad idea. I'm just amazed and surprised that the good folks in Ridgefield thought this was going to be a good idea, because obviously it doesn't make any sense whatsoever. It just doesn't work. I mean, I'm telling you, we'll see how this plays out and see what happens in terms of the liability, what happens in terms of if any, I don't know, if arrests are made. As I mentioned, I read or heard this morning that the high school coaches at Ridgefield were put on administrative leave. Not really sure how that happened or if they're involved in this at all. But clearly from the video I saw, there were a number of people out there, again, obviously with good intentions, but, you know, a little common sense goes a long, long way here. And I wish some common sense had sort of ruled the day. All right, let me do this. Let me take a pause, take us commercial spots. Mike McCann has your update this morning. When I return, I'll take some more calls about this, but then I do want to talk about the gift of adversity and how important that is for kids today, particularly kids who want to excel in sports, and how, unfortunately, parents once again sometimes sort of miss the boat in terms of common sense. 1-877-337-6666.
Hey, football fans. Bart Scott here to remind you about the newest and most exciting football team in town, the New York Streets. The arena games are just how I like my football. Fast-paced, high-scoring, hard-hitting, and family-friendly. This team has all the pieces and is ready to bring a championship back to New York. The team's home schedule begins Saturday, April 20th at the Westchester County Center in White Plains. For tickets and more details, visit nystreetsfootball.com or ticketmaster.com. That's nystreetsfootball.com. And believe me, you don't want to miss this action.
In a world that thinks and acts globally, you need an education to match. At New Jersey City University, our students come from over 100 countries, and our faculty and staff speak over 60 languages. From Newark to New Delhi, we bring the world to you. Learn more about NJCU and programs in cybersecurity, fire science, sports and entertainment, nursing, business, and more at njcu.edu. That's njcu.edu. At NJCU, we speak your language.
Prescription products require an online physician consultation and are only available if the physician determines a prescription is appropriate. See website for full details.
Hey guys, good news. The outrageously expensive little pill that treats ED is now generic, which means you can get the prescription medication to treat ED at affordable prices. And Hims makes it extra affordable. Right now, get your first month's supply for free. All you pay is just $5 for your medical consultation when you go to forhims.com/men. After that, it's just $30 for a month's supply.
Sure beats paying big bucks for just one little pill, doesn't it?
Plus, you won't need an awkward in-person doctor's appointment to get the prescription. Hims has doctors online who can prescribe the medication, and a pharmacy sends it right to your door. It's affordable, private, and incredibly easy. Nobody likes dealing with ED. Now, thanks to Hims, nobody has to. And that's really good news. To get your first order for just $5, you need to go to this exclusive address, 4hymns.com/men. That's 4hymns.com/men for your first month for just $5. 4hymns.com/men.
Liberty Mutual Insurance knows you're focusing on the road right now, so we'll just describe our newspaper print ad to you. It's a tiny square that's colored a newspaper shade of gray that has you thinking yellow. As the words read, Liberty Mutual customizes your insurance so you only pay for what you need. Now that's the kind of print ad that'll make you glad you still read newspapers.
Go to libertymutual.com for a customized quote and you could save.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
Coverage is underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Equal housing insurer.
WFAN 2020 Sports.
Hey, good morning at 8:20. I'm Mike McCann. This was one of those days where if you're a Met fan, you're frowning. Yankee fans are smiling. We'll start Atlanta. 11-7. Atlanta won this one. Game decided early. Jason Vargas lasting only six batters. Got just one man out and put the Mets in a 4-0 hole.
And welcome back to the Sports Edge. I'm your host, Rick Wolf. Right now we're talking about this unfortunate incident in Ridgefield, Connecticut, where the parents had every good intention to try and get the field playable. It was wet. It was damp. They poured gasoline on it. Not a good idea. And it caused approximately $50,000 in damages to the field, not to mention the concerns about lingering health concerns, having gasoline fumes, which are toxic, in the dirt itself. And, you know, we're saying, you know, a lot of different ways you could approach this. That was not a good one. And a lot of people are still talking about this. And I'm taking your thoughts and comments at 1-877-337-6666. Let's go to Coach Tom in North Arlington. Tom, what do you think about this?
I laugh about this. If you ever want to do a show on field maintenance, I was a groundskeeper, head groundskeeper for the public school in the same district I was at for 20 years.
Okay.
And before I did that, when I was in Little League back in the 70s, we tried that. And I was actually umpiring the game, and myself and the catcher almost passed out during the game. It was so bad. It's probably affected my brain, which is why I went on to coach baseball as well. But what I would say, obviously, I don't know if that was a urban legend, if it worked somewhere on solid ground, or what. It's just, we all know it's no good, and it doesn't work. The other thing I would say, my suggestion again that you did was, diamond dry, diamond dry, diamond dry.
Yeah.
That's what I ended up just using, and in fact, okay, what I used to tell the local recreation people, because I used to work on the same fields, was please, after a rain, I'll leave some extra diamond, do not take those brooms and sweep the water off the field. Okay, they used to sweep the water off the field and then rake it,
yep,
which is fine for the one game, but then your holes are now deeper. Okay, you know, and it makes it worse for the next time.
Yes.
And it makes it work for the, you know what I'm saying?
Well,
whereas I always looked at the puddles as, you know what, this is an opportunity. This is the low spots, fill them all in with diamond dry, and generally the thing goes away.
But
you know?
Tom, the thing is, as I said, sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, sometimes you get rained out, and that's what happens.
Yeah.
You know.
That's the other thing too. And again, I used to be young and stupid and did all these things. We used to bring a wet dry vac out sometimes and suck the water up off the field.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it was ridiculous. I mean, the reputation was no matter what happens, they're going to play the game. And I liked that reputation as a 18, 19, 20-year-old. You know, but then as I got older, my friends would start doing it. I'd be like, listen, some days you just stay home and say, you know, it's a rainy day.
Yeah.
But again, like I said, to me, I would just say diamond dry as much as you can. And the other thing that helps our locals the most, and I'm sure you know this too, when your game's over, rake the field. It gets rid of the holes, and if it does rain, it's not nearly as bad.
Agreed. I hear you 100%.
Take care.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate the call. You know, and you know, Tom's point is correct. You just got to sit back and understand that, you know, we do live in an area where it's not always the sun's not always shining, and sometimes you're going to deal with these kind of situations, but you can't give in to your temptations and say, oh, I can quickly correct this, run down to the gas station and get 20 gallons of gas. That's not going to work. And, you know, I shouldn't say this, but I'm waiting for the day when that somehow there's a field, a baseball or softball field, which is totally artificial turf, and it's wet, and they're going to try and pour some gasoline on artificial turf and see how that works. Oh, my goodness. Let's go to Paul up in Trumbull, Connecticut. Hey, Paul, good morning. You're on the fan.
Hey, Coach, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good, thank you. You know, it's amazing. I'm sitting here listening to this, and I'm thinking about, I had the opportunity when my children are younger to coach in Trumbull, and I know I've heard from friends in other towns that, you know, the gasoline, let's look at the point, though, what brings them to kind of making a decision to do that is that these parents are jaded. You know, they all have this fixation in their head that they'll do whatever it takes to put their kids on the field. And they all think, you know, on my experience, again, I'm speaking from my experience, that they have these little Derek Jeters. And, you know, and I think that's what is, it's for me, I think it's really harming for our youth, is because they see the parents, you know, take these actions and how they get so crazy about these games that, like I said, doing whatever it takes to put them on the field, and including such a silly thing or a dangerous thing, forget silly, dangerous, like using gasoline. You know, then you got to worry about copycats. In other towns, maybe they don't hear about that. That it's dangerous, or they think maybe it worked, and then you got to worry about this. You know, who's going to do this in another town? Because I heard this guy did it, or you know, I don't know. I just think
I think you're onto something there. Because in fact, I mentioned the other theme that I want to cover in the show this morning is adversity. And the parents today, and we all know this. We know the terms, you know, helicopter parents. Now the new one is snowplow parents. And in other iterations of this, parents are trying to do whatever they can within their scope of abilities to make things pleasant and good and positive for their kids when it comes to sports competition. Now, in this case, there was a big game coming up, a high school baseball game, so the parents must have got together and said, well, look, we can do this. We can get this field playable. Just let us work our magic by torching the field with gas. Yeah, but, you know, sometimes kids have to sit down with your kids and say, I'm sorry, the field's not playable today. We're going to have to postpone this game till later in the season. But again, you know, this is and Paul, thank you for your call this morning, because as I said, that's the transition I'm looking for here. Parents sometimes, and this is not like they're evil. It's just the opposite. They're trying to do the right thing. They're well-intended for their kids, but they overlook the fact that adversity is a vitally important for any youngster who plays sports. And again, you've heard this term, the gift of adversity, which sort of sounds like it's oxymoronic, but obviously that's what we're talking about. If a kid wants to play sports, at some point as they develop, they're going to run into situations where things just aren't perfect. Maybe they realize that they're not as good as they thought they were, or there's some other kid in the team who is starting ahead of them. Maybe they get cut from their high school team or during a tryout. Maybe they don't make a travel team. But if a kid really wants to compete and wants to master their skills and improve, those are those critical moments in his or her career where they're going to have to figure out, what do I have to do to get better? And moms and dads, of course, a lot of times we know this, they're going to try to intervene and smooth things over. And, oh, no, sweetheart, it's not your fault. It's the coach is a dope. He doesn't know what he's doing. They don't know how to evaluate talent. I'll get you into a different school. I'll get you on a different travel team. No, sometimes the kid has to realize, if I want to get better at this, if this is meaningful to me, then I'm going to have to do things to improve my game. It doesn't come from mom and dad. It has to come within the child. And that's where you get a sense when a kid is 10 or 11 or 12. If they're out there on their own shooting baskets or you know, throwing a tennis ball against the wall to work on their fielding or whatever they're doing to improve their game on their own and do it religiously, then you know you have a kid who's taking sports pretty seriously. But if they're looking to you as the helicopter parent or the snowplow parent to say, can't you say something to the coach, tell him how good I am, then this is going to end up with situations we have today where parents doing too much trying to help smooth and basically make things better for the kids, not understanding the kid has to make the decision how seriously they want to become involved in sports. I'm curious to get Jack Smithland's thoughts about this. Jack, obviously, I have a pretty good idea of what you feel about adversity with kids and sports.
Well, you know, Rick, first of all, two great topics.
one on the field.
Yep.
As much as I think every single sports parent in this beautiful nation of ours should read your book, I really do. I think it's the best book that I've ever read. Well, I was introduced to a book years ago by my wife, and the name of the book is Mega Skills. And Mega Skills are our life skills. And I'm going to probably put these two topics together real quick. One, number 8 mega skill in our life skills is actually things that we have to do every day is have common sense, okay? And number 9 is problem solving. So these parents should buy this book to read this book or even go online to read it, because common sense is something that we do normally every single day that people should know to do normally. First of all, what they did was a criminal act, okay? It was a criminal act. They destroyed private property. So, you know, it takes it to that next level. But in the next term, number 9 is actually problem solving, understanding the proper things. And one of the things that I taught my kids from that program was, and this parents should think about this, is think before you speak and think before you act.
Mm-hmm.
Because what you should think about are the consequences to what you're going to say or do. So in that case, they could affect physically, healthfully, their children, and they could go to jail for what they did. Is that something they would like to do? So if these people actually sat down and thought about that first, would they make the same decision? Second topic, I think, is the great topic, is adversity. And adversity is something that in the game of baseball and softball, as every other sport, but mostly in those games, if you don't understand adversity, if you can't fail, okay, because baseball and softball, especially on the offensive side, you're going to fail 70% of the time if you're a great hitter.
Right.
So adversity is, you know, learning to fail. So one of the topics, one of the sayings is that the most important tool in success is failure. So learn from your failures. Learn from the things that you do wrong. Try not to do them wrong again. It's a great topic, Rick.
Well, Jack,
unbelievable topic.
Thank you. And just thanks again, Jack. And follow up on what Jack just said, you know, if you're a parent and you see your kid, and as Jack said, baseball and softball, we both know those are sports. They're the epitomes of failure because you fail so many times. It's one thing as a parent, if you see your youngster is struggling, has a bad game, makes a key error, you know, for that next 24 hours, you can just be supportive and give them a hug, but let the pain sort of seep in. Let them deal and grapple with that failure. After that, though, after you had that 24-hour sort of rest period or pain period, then you start saying, okay, what can we learn? What can you learn about your game that you can improve upon so that doesn't happen again? And I think that's the crucial takeaway for parents today, not to sort of intervene and say, oh, you know, the umpire made a bad call or the coach should have started you or whatever. No, this is the time where you make it personal and get the kid to understand, okay, what can I learn to improve so those kind of situations don't happen again. And that's part of the whole idea of the gift of adversity. Because as every coach would tell you, you learn a lot more from losing than you do from winning. And that's the gospel truth. Let's go quickly to Ron and Wyckoff, who has been waiting patiently. Ron, good morning. You're on the Fan.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, Ron. What's up?
I just want to make two comments. I think you've been talking about the responsibility of parents, but I just think this shows what parents are going to do in youth sports. They've lost their mind. I'm actually on my way to officiate a youth soccer game.
Yeah.
But the parents don't think about that. The fact is that sports are designed to develop youth. To think that their kids always have to play every game and they have to control everything is just a ridiculous dream. You can't control the weather. You just can't. But the parents have so much invested, they just lose sight of common sense and what youth sports are supposed to be. And I understand what you're talking about. I agree 100%. But we've tried for years in my league to get parents to realize that every kid playing in that soccer league, we have over 1,000 teams, is not going to play at the higher levels. There's a limit to what every individual can do. Part of it is physical. as to what your gifts are. You can be, you know, you have the greatest intentions, but you only have certain physical limitations of what you've been given.
Mm-hmm.
But this just, and the second point, as I said, as has been pointed out, it's a criminal act. Not as a criminal act, this is actually an attack on the environment. This is an environmental violation. They're lucky they didn't take that field out of play for years, and they're lucky they're not all in jail. A gasoline spill is an environmental violation. It requires all sorts of reporting, and I'm an attorney both on the state level and on the federal level. Just, I cannot believe that parents would not think about pouring gasoline on a field and realize the environmental concerns they've caused, not only to their kids and the future kids, just unbelievable.
Well, Ron, this is exactly, and I think you did a nice job of crystallizing this. One, as you said, you know, parents today want to control everything for their kids. That's what we're talking about. They don't want to have their kids have to suffer through adverse situations where things don't go their way. And number two, to your point about the gasoline incident in Ridgefield, you know, nobody of all those grown-ups there who are so focused on having that game happen for Ridgefield High School, they lose sight of the fact that, well, maybe nobody there said, maybe this is a bad idea. Maybe there are environmental concerns. What's this going to do to kids who play the next day or next week or down in the years to come? Are we making, is there any danger in doing this? Not one person spoke up and said, maybe you shouldn't do this, even though because back in the 70s, perhaps it was done routinely. But obviously now we sort of like to think we've matured and evolved and said, you know, this is not a good idea. So it's just hard to explain. And Ron, thank you for your call. You know, the fact is, you know, we're going to see there's going to be more fallout from this Ridgefield situation. And maybe the silver lining here is that this situation will finally get the word out across the country that you don't use gasoline to burn off a field just because there's some wet spots on it. As I mentioned earlier in the hour, same thing happened in Utah a week ago. And there, I believe the high school baseball coach was involved in doing this, and he got suspended. So, again, this is a national concern. So maybe this lesson we'll all learn from this and say, no, that's a real bad idea. All right, let me take a timeout. When I return, I'll go right back to your calls. Stay with me. That is indeed correct. Ed Randall will be here at 9 o'clock this morning, and he will, in fact, be talking baseball. So make sure you stick around for Ed. I always like to remind you, you can always track me down and check out my blog and my website at AskCoachWolf.com. You can follow me on Twitter at AskCoachWolf as well. Secrets of Sports Psychology Revealed. As people have asked me, is this my book? Does it really work? Let me answer that question this way. If you read the book, will your athletic dreams come true? Well, hopefully. But what you will get out of the book is sort of a blueprint on how best to prepare mentally for a game. You know, remember, most of our kids these days focus only on the physical aspect of their sport. They rarely spend much time concentrating or thinking about the mental side and how to make adjustments in the heat of battle or how to improve their approach and much more. So that's what the book is all about, really trying to get kids who are serious athletes to focus about the mental side and how they prepare before they go into competition. Okay, right now we're talking about the gift of adversity, and you know, although it may be painful, as I said, when an athlete confronts adversity, in the long run, have they learned to go through a period or a process of coping with setbacks that makes them stronger? I may sound a little cliched or pedestrian, but it's fact is true, because you know, parents today understandably want to make their kids' lives as perfect as possible, but if kids and athletes deal with situations of setbacks and issues, that's going to make them better. That pushes them. They incorporate that into their own sort of personal mission statement, and it makes them better athletes as they develop. It's as simple as that. 1-877-337-6666. Let's continue. Let's go to Hopewell Junction up north. Jimmy is on the phone. Jimmy, good morning. You're on the fan.
Hi, Rick. One of the things I want to touch on when you mentioned teaching kids adversity,
yes,
is that parents need to understand that, number one, not one play dictates the outcome of a game. So when I speak to my parents, I let them know that when they are riding home in the car with their player,
yeah,
not to harp on that one thing that would, like you had said, let it settle in. Let it go. But more importantly, even other players, because I notice that parents have a tendency to say to players, you know, oh, geez, we would have won that game if Johnny at shortstop didn't make that error in the seventh inning.
Correct.
Well, there's more to the game, and this is what parents need to be taught, is that there's more to the game than just that one play. How about the time back in the third inning where we had, you know, runners on second and third, no outs, and we failed to get a base hit?
Yep.
Did that, you know, that helped, that aided in the loss also. But these are things that parents need to be done, explained to parents.
Yeah, Jimmy, I'm you know, that's a good point, because unfortunately parents tend to, for whatever reason, they tend to focus on the last few plays in the game as though the what happens in the first part of the game doesn't count. So as a consequence, well, it was a critically important game. We got down to the last inning, and the kid at shortstop makes an error, and that cost us the ball game. Yeah, but what about the first inning when the pitcher gave up, you know, five walks in a row? Does that not mean anything? I mean, it's. But the bigger point, obviously, is that it is that we don't want the parents to focus in any way whatsoever on individual parts of the game. What you want them, to do is you hope that the kid playing shortstop, well, I made the error. Okay, it's painful. I know I let my teammates down. Let the kid sort of deal with that for 24 hours, and then let him go back to practice and get some coaching as to, hey, what did I do wrong in that play so I never make that kind of error ever again?
Exactly, and it's not about one player. It's a team sport. It's a team effort. We win as a team. We lose as a team. And what I always tell my teams is, number one, we either win or we learn. We never lose.
Yeah, well, that's a good observation. And, you know, I know I'm sure that the kids get to understand that early on, but as the season wears on and that gets reinforced to them, yes, that's what you're trying to get across to them. Because, particularly, look, we mentioned baseball, obviously, that's the most game is full of disappointment, it's full of adversity. Obviously, it applies across the board to all sports. All sports have adverse situations. But again, if a kid's going to get involved in sports, this is part of the ground rules. You got to understand there are going to be ups and downs. The question is, how are you going to cope with the downs? And that's and parents too. So
yeah, I was just going to say, that was my point, is that, yes, we drill that into our players, and we want our players to understand that. But more importantly, and again, when I meet with my parents in the beginning of the season, I ask for their help with this. And I tell them right out, you have to help me get this point across to the players that it's a team sport. It's not about your son. It's not about your son. It's about everybody. And I need your help to reinforce this with the players.
Jimmy, I got to tell you, that lesson is an important one, and I'm glad you reinforced it to the parents, because in this day and age where everybody's so focused on their individual stats and their own analytics, you know, sometimes the concept of team gets shoved off to the side. And at the end, it's about the team. It's the team's win-loss record, not the individual stats for the kid.
Exactly.
Yeah, Jimmy, I hear you. Thank you for the call. And that's, again, sometimes I do worry that we lose sight of the fact that it is about the team. And I know at the end of the year, there's a lot of individual awards that are handed out for all league, all this, whatever, but it's still the team that matters. And that's the truth. Let's move on. Let's go to Ken up in Ridgefield. Ken, good morning. You're on the Fan.
Hey, Rick. How are you?
Good, Ken. How are you?
Good. I'm listening to the conversation here.
Yes.
And as one of the taxpayers on the hook for the damage, it's kind of interesting that we were all kind of as shocked as everyone else that it happened in the first place.
Yeah.
But I'm not quite sure that the parents at the end will be the ones who are really the leaders here. Just a little bit of information you can pick up around town. The fact that 25 cans of gasoline show up out of nowhere, and you've got 100 parents sitting around, it'd be hard to imagine that someone could talk the parents into such a bonehead idea. You also mentioned that the coach in Utah was suspended, as were three baseball coaches here.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping that there's more logic in town than it would appear as it relates to an incident like this. But it's not going to be settled until the taxpayers are off the hook for at least a $20,000 deductible on the insurance policy they've got for the field over there.
Well, what is going to happen up there, Ken? I mean, there's a lot of... We know what took place, but what is going to happen here? I mean, is the town going to absorb this cost? Is that what you're
saying?
No,
I don't think that's the case. I'm sure it's being worked on now. Ironically, the ball field is right across the street from the police station, and so I'm sure they were there pretty quickly, and they've picked up a lot of the cell phones to see what's going on.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that the first selectman and company was so ticked off by this that they're going to push the point too as a responsibility they have to us. And I think all the things you're saying about kids and parenting in schools, and my kid played ball there too. I just remember sitting there, you know, with all the other parents sitting around drinking a cup of coffee. If someone said, hey, get out here and let's spread some gasoline on the ball field, you'd look at him like he was crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
So it just seems that someone with a little more authority would have been the one to coax people to do that, saying, well, if it's, you know, if the coach says it or someone else in authority says it, maybe we should do it. But I'm hoping that sanity has not left town completely.
Yeah,
and hopefully there'll be some decent news coming out of Richfield and not.
Well, Richfield is, as you know, Ken, it's a beautiful town, and I know that there are a lot of good and caring people there. And I understand that there's always a sense that, as I said, parents have great enthusiasm and great zeal to see their kids play ball. And this was apparently supposed to be a big game that day. But again, common sense, at some point you would have thought somebody there would have said, is this a good idea to do this? Is this going to make sense? Is this... This
you would hope
fire,
so.
You know, but I guess...
You would hope so.
Yeah, anyhow.
But I appreciate you bringing it up and making it known to everyone so that it doesn't happen again someplace else and someone recalls what happened here if that comes to the back of their mind.
Well, I think that's exactly what's going to happen. This has gotten so much national attention that I think eventually what's going to take place is that people around the country, the next time they're looked at a situation they have to deal with a wet or damp field with puddles on it, they're going to say, hey, remember those guys up in Richfield? They basically...
Right, exactly. Yeah,
that's what's going to happen. Exactly. So that is the silver lining. Ken, thank you. Appreciate the call.
You bet. Good talking to you, Rick.
You too. Take care. Let's go quickly to Louie in Long Beach. Louie, good morning. You're on the fan.
Good morning, Rick.
Yeah, Louie.
You know, it's so ironic that we tell our kids don't play with matches, but meanwhile, the parents can torch the field, you know? But it's just so silly. One of the things I was thinking about, one solution that the teams could have done, maybe they could have played the game at the opponent's field, and then when their home game came, they can go to play back at the original field.
You know, Lou, I'm glad you brought that up because that's one of the other alternative solutions that, coaches deal with all the time. Well, it turns out our field's underwater, but your high school field is actually playable. Why don't we just go play at your field? Or there's another field down the street that's in pretty good shape. Let's go play there. I mean, maybe they explored that possibility. Maybe they thought about doing that. I don't know. But that's what most coaches, obviously, that's the first thing they say is, yeah, unfortunately, our field is not playable. How about your field? Can we go there? And I would hope that maybe that at least was that question was asked, Lou, because that's just, again, common sense.
And another thing is that usually the custodians, they don't take care, or the people that take care of the field, they're usually in charge of that.
Yeah.
It's amazing that they would even allow the parents on the field to do anything to the field because they're pretty picky when it comes to that. That's their job. At most schools.
Yeah, that's another good question as to how this happened. And, you know, maybe it was unclear as to why the high school coaches from Richfield were put on administrative leave. Maybe they were involved in somehow. Maybe they let the parents come on the field. I don't know. And I don't want to speculate at this point. But again, that is a good question as well because we just don't know. Hey, Lou, I got to take a break, but thank you for the call. You bet.
All the best.
Thank
you.
Take care now. And, you know, good. Lou makes good points, you know. And again, this is routine stuff when coaches say our field can't be played on. Can we go to your field, or is there an alternative field we can play on? And if you know, coaches don't want to lose a home game, sometimes you go to the other school and you just reverse roles, where that's now your home field advantage, and you're playing there even though it's on their field. All these things are possibilities. Maybe those things were discussed. Why were parents allowed on the field to even take a chance with the gas? I don't know. All right, let me take a pause. I'll be back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.